Anoint my lips, O Lord, that I may faithfully proclaim your word. For we ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you who have trouble going to sleep, we face this problem either occasionally or regularly. The night can be very, very long as you toss and turn and you wait for the morning light to come, and it seems like it doesn't come quickly enough. It's for good reason that people with sleeping issues take either over-the-counter or prescription medication to just get a decent night's sleep. Maybe you felt like the book of Amos has been a hard book to listen to. His message is like a punch in the stomach, or like the end of a long night. I have good news for you. This is the last chapter, but it ends with good news. After hearing the good news, the news of God's judgment, which we hear again and again, and in fact, it is the first part of this last chapter, the book does end with good news of God's restoration of his people. And so my first point is that God's judgment is certain. It is clear from this passage that the destruction of Israel and its land is certain, and that this destruction is God's righteous judgment against his people for their wickedness. Amos 9:1 says this, I saw the Lord standing beside the altar, and he said, smite the capitals so that the thresholds will shake and break them on the heads of them all. Then I will slay the rest of them with the sword. They will not have a fugitive who will flee or a refugee who will escape. As we hear these words of judgment in the next couple of verses, the people of Israel had two reactions to God's message of judgment. First, they denied God's judgment would ever happen. Amos 9:10 says, all the sinners of my people will die by the sword. Those who say the calamity will not overtake or confront us. They simply denied that God's judgment and calamity would ever happen. By attempting to suppress the bad news of the destruction of Israel, they thought the reality of the impending doom would go away. They were in denial, but Israel was shaken and destroyed. God's word through Amos came to fulfillment, and the people of Israel's wishes were a false and a vain hope. God had spoken through Amos, his word was true, and the fulfillment of these things actually happened in history. Second reaction that they had is that once the judgment came, they attempted to run to a safe place, hoping that God's judgment wouldn't come further. Amos 9, 1 through 4 lists a number of places that the Israelites vainly attempted to hide from God's judgment, such as digging into Sheol, which is really a picture of just digging into the ground, digging into a place of safety, as if to hide themselves. In Amos 9:2, I interpret that they dug holes in the ground and thought that they would be safe from their enemies. They are also hiding at the summit of Mount Carmel. In Amos 9:3, Mount Carmel is in the northern part of Israel. All of their hiding is in vain. Have you ever heard the phrase, you can run, but you can't hide? That saying originated, at least in the United States, in the 1940s. And actually, this is a good thing of Google. When you Google in that phrase, it's attributed often to the American boxer Joe Louis, who was quoted thus on the eve of his fight with the lightweight heavyweight champion Billy Kahn, whom he defeated twice, first in 1941 and in 1946. I actually watched the fight. Joe Louis took a beating through the first couple of rounds, but eventually Billy Conn got worn out. He said, "You can run, but you can't hide." Well, God's people tried to run. They tried to hide. They tried to deny. And in essence, they were like our first parents who hid among the bushes once they ate the forbidden fruit and disobeyed God's command. We imitate the sinful foolishness of Adam and Eve and the Israelites when we attempt to hide our sins before God. As Jonah did when he received the word of the Lord and went the opposite direction and hid in the belly of the ship. When we attempt to hide from God, we are in denial of God's attributes, of his omnipresence and his omniscience. God is present everywhere at once, and he knows all things. You can attempt to run, but you can neither run nor hide from God. God is present everywhere, and he knows what we are thinking and saying even before the thought is in our minds or the word is on our tongues. You can try to run, but you cannot hide. And we're engaged in simple immaturity if we think otherwise. So God's judgment is certain. But now, the good news. God's restoration of his people is also certain. God builds up and restores his people, which we read of in Amos 9, 11 through 15. 11 and 12 say this, "In that day I will raise up the fallen booth of David and wall up its breaches. I will also raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who were called by my name, declares the Lord who does this." Two verbs used in Amos 9:11, raise up and rebuild. This is the language of restoration and healing. And this work is done by Almighty God. In Amos 9:11 through 15, it has this historical marker. In that day, we see God bringing about his kingdom and restoring his people in several ways. We see the basic features of God's coming kingdom as the king restores the nations, the earth, the people, and the land. Amos 9 speaks of raising up the fallen booth of David. The word booth, ordinarily used in the Old Testament, signifies that which is temporary, flimsy, and insecure, which is passing away. But when God says he will rebuild the booth of David, he is speaking of strengthening that which falls apart. The line of David, the line of the monarchs, the kings in Israel, which brought about their own destruction due to human moral depravity and sin. But by God's mercy and power, the Lord Jesus, the perfect King and Son of Israel, reconciles fallen humanity and God by his life, death, and resurrection. And so he strengthens and rebuilds his people. Christ's first coming in the work of the Lord Jesus being prophet, priest, and king in all these offices brings about the inauguration, the beginning of God's kingdom. It is through Jesus Christ's saving work that God's presence brings safety and refreshment to God's people. Amos 9:12 goes on to speak of the booth of David, the restored Davidic kingdom, and the people of God possessing the remnant of Edom, and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. This prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus Christ and his church. Our Lord Jesus restored the faithful remnant as he brought them back from captivity to the promised land. The apostles of the Lord brought the saving gospel of Jesus Christ then to all the nations. and his church was planted throughout the world, including the nation of Edom, which is just east of the Dead Sea. A remnant of Edom would be brought under the redemptive kingship of David's son, the Messiah. James, in Acts 15, verses 15 through 18, quotes Amos 9, 11, and 12, and applies this promise of God taking a people for himself from among the Gentiles and including them in his church. So let us hear the words of James in Acts 15, quoting Amos 9, 11, and 12. With this, the words of the prophet agree. Just as it is written, after these things I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago. Acts 15 applies Amos 9 in an evangelistic and missionary way. Clearly, missionary expansion involves a submission to Jesus Christ as King and Lord, followed by an equality within the people of God. And so at the Council of Jerusalem, the people of God were talking about how to include the Gentiles into the Christian church. And James uses this very passage in Amos as scriptural justification for the decision that the Gentiles were eligible for co-equal membership in the things of the Lord Jesus and his church. And so Amos 9:12 tells us that God includes both a remnant from Edom and all the nations, all of the Goyim, all of the Gentiles who are called by my name. And so in the coming of the Lord Jesus, he is the one who brings the blessing to Abraham, to all the nations being blessed by him. This is not saying that every single Gentile will be part of the people of God. But as the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10:13, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so he's speaking about the people of God, not just in that piece of land called Israel, but all the nations who call upon the name of the Lord. Earlier in Romans 10, the Apostle Paul clarifies what calling on the name of the Lord is, where he speaks of the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let us hear the message of Amos 9, along with what the New Testament says about the Lord Jesus, that all people who truly believe in the one true God and his only begotten Son in his death and resurrection will be saved and forgiven of their sins and part of the people of God. Amos 9, 13 through 15 goes on to say about how God will restore the fortunes of his people. The earth will yield a lavish and rich harvest. It will be so lavish that the time available will not be sufficient to gather in the crops. The sower will bump into the one gathering the crops. The significance of this scene is wonderful. Since sin brought a curse on nature and its crops and plants, here we have a picture of the reversal of the curse on creation as God liberates and heals his created order. And so in the new heavens and the new earth, there will be a rich abundance. There will be sweet wine in all the earth. The book of Amos begins and ends in the same way. Amos 1:3 says, thus says the Lord. And then this very last verse of the book reads, thus says the Lord your God. The day will come when God will reign and sin will be no more. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he shall repent. Has he said it and will he not do it? or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And so we rejoice that though we have heard lots of bad news in this book, bad news brought about by our sin, yet we can look to one who restores not only the kingdom of Israel, but all those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We praise you and thank you that we can live in your light and walk in your truth. May the warnings and the promises that you have given to us in your promise, in your prophet Amos, dwell in our hearts and stir us to action. These things we beg through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.